Hola, I'm Paulina.
Hi, I'm Bricia. And we're sisters, friends, daughters, wives, and business owners, following our dreams, just striving to be a better version of ourselves every day. All right, and we're also moms.
Welcome to the Super Mama Sisterhood.
And I was jumping on the waves with Krista, and it was like, oh my God, this is the best ever. We get in the car, we get home. She cries because I woke her up. Ah! I was like, I wish I didn't have any kids within like 3 hours.
She stopped me right there. She was like, Brisa, I want you to understand this. I seriously believe that our children choose us and we don't choose our children.
Right.
Your baby chose you to be his mom.
Mm-hmm.
He knew what kind of mom he wanted. And he chose you as his mom.
Oh, that's really nice. We're all sisters here to inspire, support, and guide each other to dream bigger and to enjoy every moment of this extraordinary journey that is womanhood. ¿Listas?
Here we go.
¡Super mamás!
Hello. Hello. So this week on the show, we have yet another incredible panel
from our
Super Mama Social 2019. I know. This one is one of our favorites. It is with our dearest friend, Liz Hernandez, and our collaboration that we did with Word of Fool, her organization. But a little bit more about Liz. Liz Hernandez is a Mexican-American Emmy-nominated television personality and journalist currently residing in Los Angeles. Liz's passion for connecting people inspired her to create Word of Fool, which is derived from the phrase, words are powerful.
Liz is currently featured on the OWN Network and through weekly videos and live experiences, showcases feelings of inspiration and motivation that have depth and meaning. We talk about the word reflection and what the word means to each one of us. We got to share stories and we talk about self-love, awareness, loving what you see in the mirror, but also how we reflect on one another and all of us around us. I think my favorite part about this panel was that we got to hear from more Super Mamas that were attending the social that day, and toward the end of the episode, you guys are going to hear some of your fellow Super Mamas.
So brave souls.
Brave souls that were like, I want to share. And I think that was like my most favorite part of the whole thing.
Yeah, it was so exciting. I love to watch Liz's wonderful videos on Instagram. I think what she has created is unbelievable, and to be able to dissect the word reflection, which was the theme of the social this year, was very powerful and I think brought us all together. So again, we're so excited to bring you this interview with the one and only Liz Hernandez live from the Super Mama stage at this year's Super Mama Social.
Enjoy!
Can we get a big Super Mama welcome for Mamacita Liz Hernandez? Welcome, Liz.
Hi, everybody.
I feel like you should do a turn with that.
Vuelta.
Vuelta.
Okay, ahora sí, ahora sí, ahora sí, ahora sí.
¿Cómo están? ¿Cómo están? Liz, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. Are you kidding me? This is amazing. It makes me want to have a kid.
Kinda. I mean, you have albóndiga.
I do. I have a four-legged son, albóndiga, who's at home right now in the air conditioning.
And we have a lot of dog moms here. I mean, come on, right? They're kind of like kids, but then like you have a kid and you're like, hey, well, no, they're not. That's, I mean, I had a dog prior to my son, so I totally get it. Congratulations on Word of Fool.
Thank you. Thank you.
You know, Liz, one of the things that I love about you is your innate ability to kind of deconstruct a word, right? To kind of take a word and make it your own, and sometimes even make us look at this word in a whole different way, in a different light that we wouldn't have either thought about that way, or maybe make us reflect on it a little bit more. The word that I would love to talk to you today, which is the theme of today's social, is the word reflection. And the word reflection, I think for us, for me, when I was kind of like thinking about this word and like really, you know, just pondering upon this word, I had these thoughts in my mind that's, you know, I think that as women, no matter who you are, where you come from, no matter your background in any sort of way, I think the one thing in common as women that we have is this sort of moment or this journey that all of us go through of really loving our reflection, you know? And it's this constant journey that we go as women to really look at ourselves in the mirror and fully 100% love what we see, that reflection. And I think also what happens is so often than not that word reflection can really easily be transformed to comparison. You know, we want to see something else that we have seen some other in another place, and that could really that could really set our journey in a different path, right? So I love the word reflection because it can mean something so powerful, getting to that point of loving yourself. But I'm also a little bit scared of it because it could very easily be then kind of sidetracked into comparison. And that's a journey that I am on. And that's kind of what I want a lot of women to just think about today. And that's my wonderful version of reflection.
I love it. Nice job, Bricia.
Thank you.
I have a very different journey with the word reflection. Some of you may know about this, but growing up, I suffered a long time from bulimia. I had a really big problem with myself and what I would look at in the mirror when I would see it. I did every diet. I took every pill. I really, really hated the reflection in the mirror. I remember, and now looking at my pictures when I was growing up, I realized that I was actually really hot. But you know what? I missed out on so much. I missed out on life, experiences, relationships. And in every picture, there's something in common. I'm always behind someone. I'm always covering myself with something. And it was because I didn't want people to see me, because I didn't like what I saw back then on the mirror. And it's not until recently that I've been this journey to really heal myself and change that perspective and accepting who it's looking back. I mean, look at me. I'm on a stage, girls. Like, oh my God, you know?
Hey now.
And it's been really hard. It's a lot of work. Sometimes it's setbacks. And, you know, it's just taken me a long time to figure out who God really intended me to be. And that's actually who I really, truly want to reflect now. And I want to be an example for those three girls. Two are here and one sleeping somewhere. But, you know...
Somewhere. Hopefully.
I hope so. She's there. But more than for me, it's for my children and for the next generation. I have found a lot of comfort and guidance reading the Bible. And this morning, actually, when I read it, there was something about passing on the baton. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yes.
And how this is a interrelational relay. Life is an interrelational relay. And how we have to pass that on to the next person. And if I want to be better, I want the next person to be better than me, the next person to be better than me. And I thought it was so fitting for today and talking about what reflection and all of this. And I was just so happy to read that because I feel that a lot of people like us that have a platform that we should use it for good, like we said earlier, but we need to actually, once we pass on that knowledge, every single one of you needs to pass that on to somebody else. Because a lot of us need to hear a word, a speech, and that could change our life completely. I know for me, a lot of women that I've heard have really inspired me into changing to be who I am today. And I'm excited to see what's coming, you know, but I have to really learn to love my reflection. And it's been a hard journey, but I'm happy that I'm here now.
Amazing.
And it's all because of you, ladies. Thank you so much. I owe so much to you all.
I also, before we give the floor,
the baton.
To Liz, I also want to put something in your mind. We're going to have an open mic after we're done to speak on the word reflection. just going to put it out there because I know it takes some time to get courage. So just build up your courage right now, ladies, because we are going to have an open mic after this. So, Liz?
Stand in your power. Use your voice.
What is reflection to you?
So for me, reflection is the world that I see is my mirror. Everything I believe, everything I do, and everything I don't do is reflected back to me. So what I mean by that is we're creating our reality. What do I believe about taking care of myself? Every decision is a reflection back to me. Mm-hmm. So if I'm not putting the right nutrition in my body, if I'm not exercising, not just because of the image I want to portray, but because I want to stay healthy, I want to take care of my brain, that is going to be reflected in what I look like and what I feel like. That is a reflection. And I don't mean this crazy body image that advertisers give us. I'm talking about what it means personally to you. The relationships we have in our life, those are reflections of us, of our value. So if we get to the root of it, of everything that we're projecting out into the world, it really does start with our faith and our self-love. Because how I feel about myself will then indicate what I attract and reflect back to myself. So if I'm constantly attracting negative people or people who want to argue with me or people who don't value me, it stems with my own self-value. Because if I value myself, I'm not going to deal with that. I'm not going to put up with that. And yes, there are people that are there to teach us lessons, but it really comes down to my self-worth. You know, I have a friend that it was really difficult for her to love what she saw in the mirror, that she would get out of the shower and she wouldn't even look at the mirror. And we have to love every nook and cranny of who we are. We have to be able to really do self-acceptance exercises. Not just the idea, you actually have to put in work. The same way we put in work when we go to the gym, the same way we put in work when we do something we love, whether it's our passion project or whether it's our full-time job. The best work you can ever do is the work you do on yourself. Because if you don't love every crease and crevice and nook and cranny of yourself, someone is going to come along and say, I don't like your teeth, or I don't like your breasts. And it's going to be detrimental to you because you're going to believe what they say because you've already been so hard on yourself. You already banished that reflection. But if you pour love into the places that you're insecure about, that you don't feel good about, if you don't spend time with your thighs or time with whatever it is that bothers you, someone is going to come along and tell you how to feel about it. And it's going to be seriously damaging. Because they're adding on to a belief system that we've already bought into. But if we value ourselves, that's when we say, not today. I don't think so. Because I know who I am, and I value who I am, and I love who I am. So you can't tell me who I am. I already know. In the same way, like you were saying, how you read from the Bible, prayer, meditation, affirmations, that self-love gets reflected back to us. That's why you're in a different place now, because you're putting in the work and that work is getting reflected back to you. Every day that we step out of our house, our belief system and our decisions are being reflected back to us. You know, June is always, we're in May right now. We're about to be in June. June is always my marker. It's always reminding me that I'm halfway through the year. And before I know it, December is going to roll around and we say, where did the year go? Oh my God, another year has gone by so fast. I've changed that mantra in my head because it becomes a mantra every year. We say, oh, it gets faster every year. Now I like to say to myself, it's 6 months. Where do I want to be when 2020 rolls around? Because I want to look back on the year and say, look what I've accomplished. Look how great I feel. Look at the work I've done and be excited for the new year to come. So when you think about the word reflection, don't let it just be the thing that's looking back at you in the mirror. Really look at your entire life, because that what's ever reflecting back to you, whether it's your partner, whether it's your children, whatever that is, those are all based on decisions you've made every single day. It is your life being reflected back. Do you have a question?
No, I'm just like,
no, I'm all so like, good. Preach. I was like, subscribed yes! to this church yes! of Liz Hernandez. You know,
I love that you just mentioned the reflection of our children, because I think as moms, one of the things that we hear all the time is that our children are a reflection of us. And sometimes we love to hear that when they're looking cute. But then when they're not eating certain things, or when they're not speaking Spanish like they should, I'm like, oh shit, that's a reflection of me, because I'm not speaking Spanish at home, right?
Well, I'll tell you what the first, before your children, you have your firstborn, and that is the mind. You have.
Oh,
so good.
You are your firstborn. You are your first love. And so it's like, imagine this. Imagine the brain, and it's a child. And the child is acting crazy, and it's sleepy, and it's grouchy, but you've allowed this child to be on social media for 2 hours. Well, that's why it's acting that way. Or you just fed your little two-year-old pizza and soda and French fries, and you took it out drinking last night. And now suddenly it's feeling sad, and it's like, I don't know what's going on.
I took your two-year-old drinking last night. Let's edit that part out. We're talking about the brain, okay?
But that
the
is
brain as a child, not that the actual.
Is a, but I think that is essentially what the brain is.
Yeah.
The brain is your inner workings. It's your machine. It's the thing that you are using to reflect out into the world. So again, you are teaching your child, because again, children don't do what we tell them to do. They do what they see.
Yes.
It's learned behavior. And so you can tell your child all day, I don't want you on the iPad, or I don't want you on the phone. And then mommy goes and she's on her phone.
Yes.
Well, then guess what? The child wants the phone. And it's the same thing for what we put into our bodies. It's the same thing for how we treat people. That's when your children become truly your reflection.
100%.
So true. I'm just taking it all in. Like I was saying earlier, I think one of the other things is like we need to surround ourselves. We need to reflect ourselves on the moment that we surround ourselves with. And sometimes, like she was saying, it turns into a comparison game. But we have to realize that we're all running our own different races. Like I want to look like Liz, but I don't think I'll ever look like Liz, you know?
Listen, let me tell you something about comparison. Whatever woman out there you are comparing yourself to, she's comparing herself to somebody else.
Yes. Yes.
That same energy that gets exuded out to her, she's exuding out to somebody else. It's a loser's game. Yeah. And here's the thing that's beautiful, is once you come to this self-acceptance and you learn to be you and accept you, all that energy, because we wake up and we use so much energy to crucify ourselves, that energy then turns into creativity. And that creativity helps you find your passion. And that passion becomes your purpose. And we waste so much time chasing so many illusions of, I need this beauty product to make me feel good. I need this outfit. I need this shoes. I need this. I got to have this many followers on social media. I've got to do this. And we're not even looking at what we really need. And that's quiet time. That's prayer. That's meditation. That's good food. That's good company. Again, all those things are constantly being reflected back to us. And there's nobody we can blame. There's nobody else that can tell us what to think. We're the only thinkers in our mind. Yeah. And so, again, treat that brain like your first love. And you have to feed it and nurture it and care for it.
I love that so much. And also, I think that when you do that, you then transform comparison to inspiration. And I think that when you do that, that's so powerful inside you, because then you no longer are comparing, but then you're on your own journey looking through role models and turning those into mentors in your life, and to where you can draw, if you can create yourself goals and plans. And I think that's one of the most important turns you can make. You either go to the comparison or to the inspiration.
Yeah.
I like to call it, you either compare or you cooperate.
Ooh.
So it's like, I can either look at this woman and make her my competition, or I can come together with her and make a tribe. And we can cooperate and share energies and share ideas and exchange, because that's what we were really put on this planet to do, is to love each other and to make this a better place.
Yeah, definitely. I remember one of the first things that I started doing, which was so hard. I read, or Pastor Holly wrote a book called God Chicks. And I remember in there, she was saying, you got to wake up and go to the mirror every day and tell yourself, like, hey, you're so beautiful. And I thought that was so dumb. Like, the first time that I read it, I was like, oh, my God, I could never do that. Like, that's so dumb. But I started trying it. And honestly, it helped me a lot, because, first of all, nobody was watching me. You could just do it in your bathroom in the morning. And you got to talk to yourself.
and talking to yourself, we tell ourselves so many bad things. Like, you're ugly. Oh, my God, you're so ugly. Oh, my God, I'm so fat. Oh, my God, I'm so ugly. Oh, my God, this. Oh, my God, that. But we never talk positiveness about ourselves. So that, just that small change, I remember when I started doing that, it was hard at the beginning and it was forced, but it's like retraining your body. I mean, your mind. Yeah, your mind, your body, everything to speak about yourself in a different manner. I used to always label myself and talk about myself in a very negative way. And I now I'm very mindful of trying to speak positiveness into my life. And it's been a game changer. But if it took me more than 30 years to start, it's going to take me a long time. And I'm not even there. I'm not even close to being where I want to see myself. But if we wait, the longer it's going to take us to retrain our mind to do that. And I think, like, if we all just did small changes, because if I was on that side listening to us, I'd be like, yeah, that sounds so, you know, oh, yeah, that sounds cool. But if you put the work, I promise you that next year when you come back, you're going to be a different person. If you try this for 1 year, from this social till the next one, and you come back, and you're going to see all the changes that are going to happen in your life. I can see myself how much I've changed from the first social till right now. The way I was sitting, the way I was portraying myself, the way I was expressing myself, to now the confidence that I feel when I get on stage. It's just small changes, little by little. And it's been 4 years. It's not going to happen overnight. But I think, like, we all need to do small changes to amount to big ones.
Consistency is key. And that's the thing, you know, what we're talking about up here, you've heard this before. There's a million people saying this a million different ways. The key is to choose one thing and stay consistent with it, whether it's writing in a gratitude journal, whether it's writing affirmations that I am worthy, I am loved, I feel good about myself. Or again, Louise Hay, who is the queen of affirmations, talks about being able to stand in the mirror and to tell yourself, say by name, I love you, I got your back, I support you. It's really important, because if you have trouble just doing that in the mirror by yourself, how do you expect that to come from other people if you can't give that to yourself? And the thing is it's like when we see a girlfriend and she's lost a bunch of weight and she looks great, and we're like, what did you do? What's your secret? She's like, girl, I was working out and eating right. And we know the answer, but we just don't stick to it. That's the difference between someone who makes it and someone who breaks. And that's it. It's just picking one thing and just having consistency.
Yeah, whatever works.
Love
for
that.
You.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And you know, you have to be, one last thing I want to say, you have to be really mindful, because the brain, again, it's like our wild child in there. It always likes to take the path of least resistance. So it really tries not to change, because the brain likes what's predictable. The brain's like, oh, we didn't die today. That's a good thing. Let's keep doing that because it's safe. The brain is always trying to protect us. It's the ego. It's the I. It's the me. So anytime you present something new to the brain, that's, again, it triggers all this creativity. But the brain's like, whoa, 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 whoa. She's taking a different route home. This is weird. We might get hurt this way. So it wants to go back to what it knows. And that's where a lot of us get stuck. And we end up, dying with our dreams inside, drying with our goals inside, getting to the end of December 2019 and going, I accomplished nothing that I had set out. So it's just being really mindful of that as well.
Yeah, that's where faith comes in.
I don't know if there's the girl who came up to me, if she can come up. I would love to hear from her, because there was a girl who came up to me earlier who said, I went to your Super Must Night Out last year and I was so depressed. And I feel so good today. You don't have to, but if you can come up, I just love that story, because it just makes me, puts time into perspective too, you know? And I thought of that because of what Paulina said, and you know, who you were in the social last year and who you are today, and the first social to the fourth social, it just kind of puts time in perspective. But anybody want to come up right now and talk about their own journey with reflection? Maybe share some words with another super mama, with other super mamas here, and just share some words of encouragement. And you know, when one shares their story, others are listening. And
don't be shy, because you can actually change someone's life.
Oh, look all the way in the back. Woo!
Come on, girl. Woo-woo.
Your name?
Jessica Vasquez.
Hi, Jessica.
Hi, Jesse.
Okay, thank you. So, the word reflection is like really big for me, especially after having my daughter.
Let's bring up the mic to your beautiful.
So, and I'm a crier, so I'm probably going to cry.
It's fine. So were we.
So one of the biggest reflections that I did when having my daughter is when my daughter was born, because it turned out that she was born on the day of, the same day as my grandma, my mom's mother. I don't have necessarily the best relationship with her because she's, my grandmother had 12 kids. My mom is the oldest. She's always played favoritism, kind of caused a lot of my aunts to kind of like fight each other. So my grandma has always been like a little, you know, like love-hate type
especial.
Of relationship. Un poquito especial. But through her being born, I realized something very interesting. I started kind of looking at the generations of women in our family. So it turns out going back 7 generations, my grandma's great-grandma was an only child. Her grandma was an only child. My grandma's grandma was an only child. My grandma was the oldest woman. My mom was the oldest woman. I'm the oldest woman. And now my daughter is going to be the oldest woman.
Wow.
So that was like something just like, oh my God, like how did that happen? My grandma has 38 grandchildren, 36 great-grandchildren, and 3 great-great-great-grandchildren. And my daughter is the only one who has landed on her birthday.
Wow.
So I took it as a reflection and a sign of like, our ancestors kind of like talking to us and telling us like cut the BS and get along, especially like with my cousins, with my, you know, my aunts, with my sister. So I set up like this whole event with like my aunts and my cousins, and it's like forget my grandma and like her favoritism, but like let's figure things out. Let's reflect on what's been going on through the years. Like we don't have any negative feelings towards each other except what she has pitted you guys against each other. And that's kind of, so it's really interesting how this little human and her just like birth has brought so much love into this like next generation. So that's kind of like, I think my reflection, like looking back at like our ancestors. And along with that, I realized that there's a lot of like trauma that had been passed on, transgenerational trauma, that we're working on healing, not just with ourselves, but like together as mujeres. So
that's awesome.
That's my reflection.
I love that.
Thank you.
I just read, it's so crazy. I just read a passage today that said we're always in discovery and healing at the same time. Yes. We're always in new discovery and healing. So I think that that's a big part of it.
Yeah. And there is a lot to say about transgenerational
trauma,
and a lot of just, you know, when you said cut the BS, I always say, you know, break those chains, break those generational chains that are, you know, that are really dragging us and not allowing us to be who we need to be. So thank you for sharing that story with us.
Who's next?
Oh,
hey,
hey.
Hey now.
Hey, Liz.
Hi.
I've known you for years. Well, not personally known you, but...
We've known each other.
Yeah. We've connected at one point.
We're friends.
Be friends. One thing that I think is important that a lot of us women don't take into consideration is self-love. So I see a lot of pictures, especially recently I visited my cousin's house for her wedding. Her daughter had a bunch of pictures of me and my family on her wall, and that was huge, right? I had a lot of weight. But I always thought I'd look good. You know, I never thought like, oh, I should wear a different dress because I look fat, or I should change, or I should cover up because I look fat. I always thought in all those times back then that I looked good. I looked hot. Like, man, I look hot, you know? And even in my post, like on Facebook, I look back and I'm like, damn, I'm looking hot, you know? But it's all about self-love.
Yes.
My aunt always tells me, Mija, I hope one day you find a man that loves you as much as you love yourself, because... Man, that'll
yes,
be incredible.
Yes.
But I think, I mean, none of us are perfect. We all have, you know, our imperfections. And I think once we learn to embrace that, you know, our loose skin, our stretch marks as we have kids, everything. You know, I rock a bikini on the beach and I have a bunch of stretch marks. I don't care.
You know? Woo, good for
I
you, girl.
It.
But it's about self-love. And once you love yourself, like you guys said earlier, I mean, once you love yourself, it's almost impossible for someone to not love you. It's almost impossible for someone to not fall in love with the type of person that you are.
Yeah.
Because you have so much self-love and it just radiates towards everybody else. And it radiates towards your kids. Because when your kids see that, especially your daughters, like I have two daughters, especially when your daughters see how much you embrace yourself and you enjoy the image that you portray, they're going to enjoy themselves as well, and they're going to have that self-confidence as well. So
you allow other people to feel comfortable in their skin.
Exactly.
And I love confidence is coming in faith. Yeah. So again, it all stems back to our strong faith. Any, you know, when we see, meet people and we're like, I love how confident she is. Or especially, you know, people get into relationships, they're like, oh, he's so confident. So it makes him so sexy.
Yeah.
Or she's so confident. Well, what's attractive about that is really someone is coming in faith in themselves.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, last thing. I used to work with this lady and she used to tell me, she asked me once, like, I love your confidence. Like, where how'd you get that? How'd you get that to that? And I told her, you know, actually, I looked myself in the mirror one day and I just said, I love you.
Yes.
And she asked me, she's like, and then that. What? And then I believed it.
Yes. Woo!
Thank you.
That was amazing.
Thank you.
That was giving me like...
You
that,
need to be up here with us.
Yes. That was giving me the Amy Schumer vibes. Remember that movie? Do you guys remember? I'm So Pretty.
I love that movie. Yes.
Love that movie. Did you watch that movie? You got to watch that movie. Yeah, right? Right? Yes. Anyone else?
Hello, my name is Jackie Llamas.
Hi, Jackie.
Hi. You guys are awesome. I'm just here because my comadre, she invited me last minute and I was like, heck yeah, I'm going to go.
Good for you, comadre.
But now I am going to have social media. But one reflection that I really had, I think, when my son was born was how much my mom did for me. Before I had my son, I thought, you know, moms just did what they did. Like, oh, that's their job. And then I had my son and I was like, oh my gosh, my mom does so much for me. And I was just so thankful. And now I'm so close to her just because I had my son. And I think that was just the biggest reflection that I hope my son, as he gets older, reflects that how much I'm doing for him now.
Oh, yes. That's amazing.
Thank you to all of our moms, right? Shout out to my mom right there, that hot lady in orange. That's our mom.
Shout! Yeah!
Thank you, mom.
We have another mom back there with the jean jacket.
I'm not a mama, so I'm just an aunt that came along with her sister. And
for mamacita.
I love you, girl, so I just tagged along and love your podcast. Liz, I've saved a lot of your YouTube videos to my library, and every time I'm just feeling down I just replay them and listen to you at work. And the reason why I do it at work is I work in corporate America, so I work in a field in finance where it's all men, and it's all white men. So being
Say
brown,
it, girl.
Don't apologize.
Don't apologize.
So being brown and being a female is really hard. Not only that, it's really hard because there's no women that I can look up to and look like me and come from a background like I do. So my question to you is, you're in the media, I'm sure your world revolves around as well a whole bunch of white male. How were you able to stand out as a Latina, and not only just a Latina, a female, while not being like the rest of the other women that just stepped all over you and didn't care to uplift each other, and it wasn't trying not to be competitive with one another? How do you do that?
My strength was just being in my authentic self. Because I could have walked in and tried to fit in and sound like every other reporter on a red carpet. And been like, hey, how's it going? And put on my reporter voice and do all this. But I just wanted to be me. I had to remind myself that I got the opportunity to be the fan who stepped into the room and sat down with the Ben Affleck or the Britney Spears or the Jennifer Lopez. And I never forgot that. And so I never lost my excitement. I never played it cool. And when it came to corporate America, yeah, I was the first one in the arena. My parents didn't work in corporate America. So that's a little bit tricky, but it's going back to, again, knowing your worth and knowing your value. And you have to show up knowing you deserve to be there. Because that was one thing that nobody could tell me, because I have beautiful parents who told me I could be and do anything I wanted to. And I believed them. And so when I worked for major corporations, I knew that I deserved to be in that room, but I was standing next to the best, not because I was Latina or I was the, you know, token Latina that got that opportunity. It's because I could take anybody in the room and go get that interview and be just as good. But I worked at it. I made it my conviction to be that good, if not better, because I had to prove it to them. I had to prove what my qualities were, what my strengths were. I was the one who showed up 10 minutes before everybody else, and I left 10 minutes after everybody else. Not because it was just for me. I wanted to be that good. And again, it just, what parlayed from that was the groundwork now. I look back at radio and I look back at television, and that was my schooling for what is now Wordiful. I'm able to speak in a way where I feel comfortable. I'm able to read from a teleprompter. I'm able to know how a business works. And to me, those are all the essential tools. You know, we never know where life is, where we're going to end up in life. So just try to use everything as a lesson. Learn while you're there. Learn while, you know, you have these men in front of you. What are they there to teach you about yourself? But I think the most powerful thing you can do is to be your true, authentic self. Because you know if you're showing up and doing your best every single day. And that's one thing. That's hard work, and a great worker is undeniable.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yes.
We have time for one more. Anyone?
Oh, right here.
Okay, so now that you're in this spiritual growth and you're leveling up more and more and more, because I've seen your growth a lot.
Thank you.
What would you tell your younger self now? Now that you can reflect back and you know who you are now, what would you tell your younger self if you can tell her one thing?
I would tell her a few things.
Yeah.
Starting with wear lots of SPF. to educate myself, to dip more into books every single day. You know, books are, I always say, people have gone out and lived these experiences and they give us all the answers for $19.99. They're waiting there for us to drink from these books, and we just let them sit on the shelves and collect dust. There's so much knowledge in there that's going to help you get ahead. So whatever it is that you're curious about in life, read about it. Go study about it. We have the internet now. I mean, there's just so much to discover. I would have also gravitated closer to my faith a little bit faster. You know, again, I believe I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be, and the maturation of my life happened exactly in God's timing. But again, what we said about doing the work, you know, I wish I could have just started the work a little bit earlier, of making sure I was praying and meditating and doing my affirmations. I've been writing in a gratitude journal for about 10 years now. And I had a moment that happened about a year ago where, you know, my relationship was finally ending. My mother was getting very ill. I felt very alone. It felt like everything I was close to was dwindling. And I was in the shower and I just turned the shower off and I did that ugly cry, you know, where you're like bent over and just like, and every self-help book, everything I've ever done just sounded like blah, blah, blah. Like, you're not even believing your own stuff. You're not even believing the work you did. And out loud, I said, God, why are you doing this to me? And it was like I got sucker punched in the freaking gut. And it was the 10 years of writing in that gratitude journal just started downloading in my brain. It was like all the files opened up. And I just thought, I'm choosing to focus on one thing, and that is this loss that I'm feeling. My mother's 70 years old. She's still on this planet. I can still go nuzzle myself in her neck and smell her and tell her I love her. That's gratitude. I had this beautiful relationship. Even though it's coming to an end, he's still my best friend, and we still respect each other. Let me find gratitude in that. I'm boohooing in my house in Los Angeles with a roof over my head, with food in my refrigerator. Hot water, with my amazing little albondiga, like staring outside, waiting for me to get out so we can play. Like, what an amazing life I live. And I get to do what I love for a living. But I just chose to have tunnel vision and see this one thing that was wrong with my life. But what I learned in that moment was I was so grateful for the toolbox was sitting right next to me, and I just had to open it up. But I wouldn't have had the tools inside had I not been writing that gratitude journal for 10 years. So that was the long answer. So to go back in time, that's one thing I'm so grateful I started doing. But yeah, it would be spending more time with myself, not worrying so much what's going on out here in the world and what people think and all of that. It's getting really to know me and love me.
Thank you so much, Liz. Give me one last round of applause for an incredible super mamacita, Liz Hernandez.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for your time and attention, you guys.
Thank you, Liz.
At Liz Hernandez on Instagram and everywhere. Please go a stalker.
Thank you.
Hey, sisters. Thank you so much for listening. Hope all of you guys are subscribed to our newsletter. If you're not, make sure you hit that subscribe button on supermamas.com. We will be sending out invites to upcoming events, promos, and super cool surprises your way. And of course, you can always keep up with us through the gram at @_supermamas and on Twitter, also @_supermamas, and in the face at supermamas podcast.
Oh, one more thing. We want to hear your Super Mama moment of the week to share with all of you sisters. Call into our hotline, 424-329-3707, and leave us a message, or simply email us a voice note to hello@supermamas.com. Very soon, we could be featuring you on the show. Please remember to leave your name and Instagram handle for a chance to be featured.
Much love, and
see you next week. Super Mamas!